I am really honored to be here. I am really looking forward to sharing God's word with you. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. We'll start with verse 16. There is a theme that connects all of it that I hope you will see, at least by the end, and that is singleness of purpose. We are to live with singleness of purpose. Mm-hmm. Hopefully you will see that as we go through these scriptures. And as you are turning to Matthew 6:16, let me give you a bit of a background, just a little. This is in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. Yeah. Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is the Sermon on the Mount. This is about halfway through Jesus' public ministry. He's in Galilee, and he's been healing everyone that the people bring to him. Yep. Lame, blind, issues of blood, yep. Demon possession. It just didn't matter. He had power to save. Amen. And to deliver.
That's right.
And he healed. Mm-hmm. Another thing about Jesus, he didn't teach like the Pharisees and the scribes. He taught as with authority.
Amen.
Yeah.
He would say, here's what the scripture says. You've heard it said, but I tell you. And he went to the heart of the scriptures. Mm-hmm. So the people really, really wanted to hear Jesus teach. And what was he saying? He was saying, repent and believe the gospel. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he said, salvation is by believing in me.
Amen. Amen.
With that in mind, we're going to jump in the middle of this sermon, and we're only going to read 10 verses, and then we'll go back and we will work our way through it. And I think what is said tonight, Jesus said it, he preached it 2,000 years ago, and we have it written down here. But what is said in these 10 verses can change your life, should change your life. And if you're a believer, already a believer, and your life has been changed, to live under these principles will give you joy.
Amen.
That sounds like a good deal.
Amen.
So let's read these verses. Verse 16. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you that they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is a lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And we'll finish with verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, with what you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?
Amen.
Well, we could almost go home. But let's talk about it a little bit. Let's go back to verse 16. Well, wait a minute. Why are we going to talk about fasting? This is a Baptist church. I mean, when we say fellowship, we're talking about food, right? No, look, fellowship is much more than food, just like worship is more than music. Okay, all right. But there's a principle here. Back in Jesus' day, There was a lot of fasting in the Jewish faith. But the religious leaders, most of them are just flat out hypocrites. They were fasting simply to be seen by men. And Jesus was saying, you're going to have your reward, but that's it. You may impress a few people, but that is absolutely it.
Yeah.
What they would do, they would rub ashes on their face. Sometimes they cover their face with a cloth, you know. And they wouldn't say it, but it's as if it's saying, look at me here on the street corner. I want y'all to know I'm fasting.
Yeah, that's right.
You know. And it did impress some people. But Jesus was saying, that's as far as it went. Well, really, what is fasting? What is it? I thought J.C. Ryle had a good quote on that. Let me read it to you. Fasting, or the occasional abstinence of food, in order to bring the body into subjection to the spirit, is a practice frequently mentioned in the scriptures, mostly connected to prayer. David fasted when his child was sick. Daniel fasted when he sought special light from God. Paul and Barnabas fasted when they appointed elders. Esther fasted before going in to the king. In all of these cases, these men and women fasted because they were praying earnestly to hear from God. Now, I'll quickly say there's no direct command about fasting. You and I are not commanded that we must fast. So this is a matter left to your discretion. Be persuaded in your own mind and don't condemn what somebody else decides. But I see two things here regarding fasting that's clear right here. One, do it for the right reason. And number two, do it quietly.
Amen.
What you are doing when you fast, as you pray or study scripture or whatever you are doing, it's a singleness of purpose. What you are doing, you are laying aside all distractions and you are bringing a fervent prayer to God. You have a request, a cry for help, a mourning. You just might want to have a deeper fellowship with God, and you seek that intensely. Should you fast? Sure, go ahead. Absolutely. Go for it. It will help. Now, this just may be me. It may have never happened to you. Have you ever set aside some time for, I got a block of 15 or 30 minutes, and I'm going to study my Bible, or I'm going to pray? And just as you've gotten started, your body says to you, you're hungry. That's never happened to y'all? That's a distraction, isn't it?
Yep.
Maybe there should be times that you say, I want my spirit to control my body instead of my body telling me what to do next.
Amen.
That might be a good thing.
Yeah.
But if you have a blood sugar problem, don't do it. Because it's not going to help your prayer if you pass out in the middle of it. Right. So this is not directed to everybody, but fasting can be a good thing if it helps the fervency of your prayer. And your Heavenly Father will reward you in secret. Now remember, you're not telling anybody. And if you're okay with that, you might be doing it for the right reason. Because if you're disappointed that you can't tell anybody, maybe you want to impress somebody. I think Jesus has a handle on this.
Amen.
When he's talking to us about it. Singleness of purpose. If it will help you pray fervently, do it. Remember, James says, the fervent prayer of a righteous man does much good.
Amen.
Did you know that Jesus assumed his disciples would fast after he left? Now that's convicting to me. You can look in Acts, the church at Antioch. It says that they were fasting and praying. and the Holy Spirit moved on them to set aside Paul and Barnabas, and thus was the first missionary journey. Something to chew on. That's in Acts 13. Well, let's move on, and I want you to keep in mind this singleness of purpose. Fasting can be a good thing if it helps you eliminate distractions and you are going for God. You are wanting to pray fervently. Well, verses 19, that's the next one. Do not lay up or put up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. I was looking at this word rust. It really is a broader term. It means eating. It's what a moth does to clothes. It's what a mouse will do to grain that's stored. And I guess, you know, rust eats too. It just eats metal. And so Jesus is saying treasures on earth will eventually be eaten, break, get lost, or stolen. So what do? Do you get another one? Start over again? Oh, that's true of my body as well, so I'm going to die. And then I'm going to be face to face with my judge, who, by the way, is Jesus, who is giving this sermon in Matthew 6. And so he's the one that's saying, these treasures that you are giving your heart to are temporary and they will pass away. That's every earthly treasure. So what I want you to see here is there is a contrast between earthly treasures and heavenly treasures. The preacher in Ecclesiastes said this in chapter 9. He said, enjoy life with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life, and by vain, quickly passing away life, that he has given you under the sun, because that is your portion in life. And in your toil, at which you toil under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or thought or knowledge or wisdom in the grave to which you are going. Now back to Matthew 6, verse 20. But rather, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. So this is how we are to live. We are to be storing up treasures in heaven. And I had a thought the other day, and I said, yeah, we want to store it up in the cloud. You know, the spiritual cloud, way up there in the heavenlies. Now, I know when you save a computer file to the cloud, it's really just going to another computer somewhere else. Maybe in the state of Washington. Who knows where it is? But it's still another computer, and that is quickly passing away.
That's right.
But you know, as a believer in Christ, we can actually store something in the spiritual cloud, in the heavenlies. You see, the cloud will never be the same for you again. Never be the same. We are storing up treasures in heaven.
Amen.
Well, what did the term treasures in heaven mean to that Jewish audience 2,000 years ago? It's all in Jewish literature, and we can come up with a definition of what they thought. It meant to the Jewish people, it refers to whatever is of good and eternal significance that comes out of what is done on earth. Any good that would be rewarded by God. So a definition that we can give, laying up treasures in heaven, actions of faith that have eternal value. Actions of faith that have eternal value. That's treasures in heaven. That's laying up treasures in heaven. In the New Testament, there is a promise of reward for doing righteous deeds, suffering for Jesus' sake, forgiving one another, even a willingness to share.
Amen.
Now, I want everyone to turn to 1 Timothy 6:17. After we read this, you will know what treasures in heaven are. Since treasures in heaven are eternal, and you can never lose them, and no one can ever take them away from you, and you can enjoy them forever, I think we need to look at this. Maybe we need to change priorities in our life. First Timothy 6, and really we need to read 17 through 19. Okay, here we go. As for the rich in this present age, and in America, that's every one of us, so don't say this is not for you. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty or arrogant or prideful, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. There it is.
Amen.
Thus, what are they doing when they do this? They are storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life.
Amen.
There you go. Be rich in good works, be generous, be ready to share. That's storing up treasures in heaven. I think I could safely say now, and you would agree with me, that we need to be heavenly minded so that we can be earthly good.
Amen.
Don't turn there, but in Mark chapter 10, Jesus, in dealing with the rich young ruler, Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said, "go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." That rich young ruler did not follow Jesus because he chose earthly treasures over Christ.
Yeah.
That was 2,000 years ago. What happened to those treasures? They were inherited by somebody else. Somebody else inherited them. And probably a lot of those coins are buried somewhere in the Holy Land. Nobody knows where they are.
That's right.
Is that worth giving your eternal soul to? Back to Matthew 6, verse 21. "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So you want to know where your heart really is? Well, you tell me what your treasure is, and I'll tell you where your heart is. You spend time with your treasure, you spend money with your treasures, and you spend your thought life with your treasures. And you're feeding your heart something. What are you feeding your heart? Oh, I hesitate to give an illustration because, you know, I won't hit some of you. I could talk about musical instruments, cowboy boots, cars and trucks, guns, you know, if I set my mind on, I want a gun, I want a pistol, I want a revolver, you know, I've never had a 38 special. I'd like a 38 special.
Amen.
Hey. So I go online and I read everything I can about 38 specials, all the different models, everything that's available, and then I go to a store or two, and I look them over, and I touch them. You know what I'm eventually going to do? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to buy one. That's feeding my mind, right? Now, I'm not saying you can't do that. That's fun. But it's not your devotion. It's not your life. It is. What if you fed yourself every day God's glory and God's grace?
Amen.
What do you think that would do?
Amen.
You'd want to lay up treasures in heaven, wouldn't you?
Amen.
So what do you feed yourself with? And that leads us to the next verses, 22 and 23. The eye of the lamp, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? If the eye is healthy, literally it's if the eye is single. This particular word means like straightforward. Healthy, it's a good translation, but I like single because we're talking about a single purpose here. Your eye has a single purpose. A single eye, a spiritual healthy single eye is undivided devotion to God. You're not divided in mind and soul, but you are looking at God. You've made up your mind who you're going to serve.
Amen.
Set your eyes on the good, your body will be full of light. If your eye is evil or bad, the body will be full of darkness. You don't have to turn there for this. I'll just read it to you. But if you're a believer, Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, if then you have been raised with Christ, if you are a Christian, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. Again, be heavenly minded. Set your mind on the things above. Now look at Matthew 6, verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. If you have a King James, it will say mammon. That is an Aramaic word. And it had a special connotation to money that may have been gained in a less than legal manner, or you cheated somebody to get it.
Yeah.
But basically, money is a good translation here. Do you know you can have two employers, but you still can only have one master? And that one master you will love, and the other one you will disregard. If you had two masters and push came to shove, one of them you love.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Amen. 1 John 2:15 says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, and whoever does the will of God abides forever. The world is passing away and its desires. There it goes. Some of it just went by.
Yeah.
And we can never live that second again. This world is passing away. And some of those desires that you are giving your heart to, even those desires are going to go away because the things you desire will be gone. The things will be gone, so the desire is going to be gone.
Yep.
And they're temporary. And again, is that what you want to set your eternal soul on? And here's a thought that I just recently thought about. The cares of this world. Okay, let's say you are all in on this world and you are gathering treasures, worldly treasures, because you want this and you want that and you're setting your heart on these things. That is the way of the world. That's what Satan wants. But here's the thing. As you are accumulating and as you're doing this, those very cares will send you to an early grave.
Yeah.
The anxieties
right.
will kill you and cut your life short. And I'm thinking, you know, you just can't trust Satan, can you? You know, I was reading a revelation the other day where he's got this army. He's got these people that are serving him, and he still sends them out to fight God to be destroyed. And I'm thinking, he's destroying his own army. Why does he do that? He hates humans.
Right.
We are created in the image of God, and he hates us.
Right.
He is wooing you. He is giving you, yeah, look at this. You can ride the fence. Get the best of both worlds. Yeah, come to church. Be a moral person. But here, keep your sin over here. Yeah. You can ride the fence. No, you can't.
Right.
The devil owns the fence.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can only serve one man. You think you got two? No, you only have one master.
Amen.
Whoever does the will of God abides forever. One more time in Ecclesiastes. You know I love that book. Ecclesiastes 5:10 says, "He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth and his income."
That's right.
This also is vanity. Hebel. It's a puff of air. It's empty. He only says, not only will you not be satisfied with money, you won't be satisfied with your income. And boy, isn't that the truth.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what you make per hour or what your yearly salary is. Ask somebody what's the perfect amount, and they'll say a dollar more,
mm-hmm.
$5 more, $20 a week. If I just had $25 more a week, I could get by. No, you wouldn't. You just spend more.
That's right.
By the way, have a savings account. Build up an emergency fund. God, Jesus is not saying don't have an emergency fund. Do that. Some of you need to do that. It's just a responsible thing to do. But we were talking about, though, overall, earthly treasures, heavenly treasures, and again, who you're going to serve. That's that singleness of purpose that we started with fasting, and we're going into treasures of your heart. You have to make a decision. You can't dilly-dally around. Who is your master?
Amen.
I want you to make that decision because it will lead to a satisfying life.
Amen.
You'll still have problems, but you'll look at them differently.
Amen.
You will have inner peace and inner joy.
Amen.
Yes.
You're not going to be any better looking, I'm sorry.
No.
You'll smile more, and that will make you look better to us. You know. But anyway, let me continue on here. The good shepherd is just the opposite of Satan, who is a destroyer, a liar, a slanderer. The good shepherd actually wants you to believe him. Believe what he says. And he says, follow me. Do not be anxious. Put it down. Store up treasures in heaven. Get out of this rat race.
Yeah.
It is not worth it, and it's only temporary as well.
Right.
Turn to Matthew 12. You're in Matthew already, so it won't take you long to get to Matthew 12, 35. I want you to see this. I'd love to hear those pages rattling.
Amen.
Matthew 12, 35, the good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. That word careless, the Greek word is argon. Some of you chemists out there know of argon gas. It's odorless, tasteless, inert gas. Well, when they first discovered it back in the 1800s, they couldn't hardly get it to interact with anything, you know. And so they say, we're going to name you argon, which means lazy, insignificant. And it says here that every little insignificant, lazy word will be under judgment. Careless is the translation that we got here. Okay, you mean to tell me even the insignificant, lazy, useless, idle, careless words will be judged? Yes. Every spoken word, no matter how seemingly insignificant, reflects the heart and is known by God. Every careless word. So I have come to the conclusion that I need a Savior.
Amen.
And Jesus is the only one who saves. I cannot on my own pass this judgment test when we're talking about every careless word. I can't do it. It gives me joy that my Savior has paid for every sin. How many careless words have I spoken? And Jesus has taken care of that for me. And did you also notice in Matthew 12 that the good person has good treasure in his heart? An evil person has bad treasure in their heart. That tells me we need a heart change.
Amen.
We can't just do this. This is not a works thing. You know it's not a works thing if every careless word is going to be judged.
Yeah.
And you only need one to send you to hell.
Right.
Well, what then is the will of God? Well, that you obey the Son and you believe in the Son.
Amen.
Where can I find that? Well, John 3:36 is a good one. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. Believe or not obey. There's your choices.
Yeah.
So let's finish. Back in Matthew 6, look on ahead to verse 33. We didn't read that. And I do recommend you read this entire chapter. Matter of fact, read Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Read the Sermon on the Mount. It's wonderful. That was a one-time sermon, but that is indicative of what Jesus preached in his public ministry.
Right.
He went from town to town. He just, he continued to preach the same things. It's like, don't worry, trust in me. Read, that's your assignment. Read Matthew 5, 6, and 7 sometime in the next day or so. But here, Matthew 6, 33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You'll get the earthly treasures you need, and you will be happy seeking God and his righteousness.
Amen.
That means being obedient and God working through you. Treasures inside. And then you are going to be laying up treasures in heaven. And people are going to like being around you because you're going to be a generous, caring person.
Amen.
Everything you need will be provided for you. So just stop worrying.
Amen.
But do be responsible. God will reward your diligence. If you can, you don't have blood sugar problems, and you can at times say, I'm going to set aside a period of time, and I'm going to seek the Lord.
Yeah.
And if my body says I'm hungry, I'm going to say, body, shut up. We can eat later. I'm not going to die for a couple hours. So, I'm just going to wrap it up. This will take 20 seconds. Here we go. What we have read, what we've talked about, I want you to have a singleness of purpose, a single life. I want you to set your eyes on God. Just do it. Make up your mind who you're going to serve. I want you to put up treasures in heaven. That's doing good works, being generous, ready to share. And that, of course, means also ready to share the gospel with your friends. Anoint your head and wash your face. Be joyful. When you're fasting, I don't want to hear about it. Unless you got a question or something. Be fervent in prayer. Really, fasting can be good if you don't have the blood sugar problem. And Jesus reminds us that you can have only one master. one master. So my question to you is, who is it?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. I thank you for the opportunity to share this brief message with you, but it is so full. It is so rich. Lord, thank you for sending your son. Thank you for this sermon that he gave on that mountain.
Amen.
And Lord, I'm looking forward. We're all looking forward to that day when he comes again.
Amen.
We thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.